Why I called him Born, and how he changed. I called the creature Born because of one of the few things Wick had told me about his time working for the company. Remembering a creature he'd created, Wick had said, "He was born, but I had born him." When I wasn't scavenging for myself or Wick, I took care of Born. This required some experimenting, in part because I had never taken care of anyone or anything before, except some hermit crabs as a child and a stray dog for a day that I had to give up. I had no family, and my parents had died before I had arrived in the city. I knew nothing about Born and treated him like a plant at first. It seemed logical from my initial observations. The first time Born felt comfortable enough to relax and open up, I was sitting down to a quiet dinner of old company food packets I'd found buried in a half-collapsed basement. He was sitting on the table in front of me, as enigmatic as ever. Then, mid-chew, I heard a whining noise and a distinctly wet pucker. As I set down the packet, the aperture on top of Born widened, releasing a scent like roses and tapioca. The sides of Born peeled back in segments to reveal delicate dark green tendrils that, even in their writhing, protected the still hidden core. Without thinking, I said, "Born, you're not a sea anemone at all. You're a plant." I'd already gotten into the habit of talking to him, but at the sound of my voice, Born snapped back into what I thought of as his defensive mode and didn't relax again for a full day. So I put him on a plate in the bathroom, on a shelf beneath a slanted hole in the ceiling that let in improbable sunlight from far above. I savored that green-tinged, musty light in the mornings before I went out to do Wick's work. By the end of the second day, Born had taken on a yellow-pink hue, and the tenacity of his defensive posture hinted at either sickness or religious ecstasy, both of which I had seen too often out in the city. He smelled overcooked. I removed Born from the shelf and returned him to the kitchen table. However, by then I noticed that the worms that composted my bathroom waste and excreted the nutrients Wick used in his vat had disappeared. Now I knew a few useful things. Born could overdose on sunlight. Born was a glutton for compost worms. Born could move around by himself, but wouldn't while I was there. So Born chose to overdose on sunlight. Nothing now indicated that Born was malformed or in any way a mistake. I upgraded Born from plant to animal, but still did not reclassify him as purposeful. I should have, though, because following his bathroom adventures, Born made no attempt to disguise his movements. I would come home to find him in the bedroom when he had been in the kitchen when I'd left, or back in the hallway when he'd been on the living room floor. Upon my approach, Born always remained silent and unmoving, and I could never catch him in the act. I sensed amusement from Born over this, but I was probably projecting. This made me smile. It became a kind of game to guess where he might be when I returned. I looked forward to coming home more than usual. When I mentioned this to Wick while giving him a half-dead azure slug I'd found near the company, he didn't find it funny. "You're not worried?" "Why should I be worried?" "Because it is concealing its capabilities from you. Already, you have no idea what it might do next. You're telling me it's organized and possibly as intelligent as a dog, and we still don't know its purpose. You said Bourne didn't have to have a purpose.
I might have been wrong. Give it to me. I can find out what it is.
That made me shudder. Only by taking Bourne apart?
Maybe. Yes, of course. I don't have any sophisticated equipment here. I don't have the time or the ability for anything non-invasive.
The magician encroached. The supplies wouldn't last forever, the rhythm that ruled our lives. To Wick, Bourne was just another variable, something he needed to control to manage his own stress. I understood that, but perhaps the lie created by life inside the balcony cliffs was that at some point we might think beyond the next day or the next week. That was the sliver of doubt that had crept into me along with the laughter at Bourne's antics. On impulse, I hugged Wick, held him close even though he tried to pull away. This was business. This was survival. That resistance told me, and I shouldn't mix our personal relationship with business. But I couldn't help it. And I still couldn't give him Bourne. Not out of pity or concern or anything else false. And because I couldn't give him Bourne, I stopped talking about Bourne with him. When he asked about Bourne, I kept my answers brief and casual. He's fine. He's really nothing more than some kind of vegetable, a potted plant that walks. Wick would look at me like he saw right through me, but he didn't take Bourne away from me. It was all a test as to whether trust could still exist between us. And every time I extended that trust a little further, I expected it would be unable to take the weight or the pressure of my weight on it and snap.